You're listening to EFT Radio Online, where we explore meridian tapping techniques for self-help and peak performance. By listening to this audio, you agree to the disclaimer located at eftradioonline.com/disclaimer. If you'd like to get the schedule of all the upcoming EFT radio shows and access to archive shows, please visit us at eftradioonline.com, where you can subscribe to our free newsletter.
Do you want to move from burned out to fired up? Welcome to Leave the Job You Hate for the Work You Love with Marty Murphy. Marty is a career coach, certified EFT practitioner, and former corporate captive who helps business professionals overcome the fears that keep them stuck in the job they hate.
Welcome, welcome. I am your host, Marty Murphy, and I am excited to be here with you today. And as always, my intention for this show is to help you with helpful information and assist you along your journey to taking your own big leap into the meaningful work you love and to help you move from burned out to fired up. And that's why I love to bring you interviews with people like my special guest today, Dina Proctor. Dina is a life and business coach, inspirational speaker, and best-selling author of the awesomely titled book, Madly Chasing Peace, How I Went From Hell to Happy in 9 Minutes a Day. After hitting an emotional rock bottom, she quite unintentionally created a process called 3x3 meditation. 3 minutes, 3 times a day. And this process enabled her to transform every aspect of her life, from weight loss and banishing cravings to reconstructing relationships. This simple and yet incredibly effective method has gained the support of Jack Canfield and Dr. Bruce Lipton and is now helping thousands of others around the world improve their lives. And I can personally attest to Dina's 3x3 meditation. I had personally been wanting to get back into meditating for a long time, but I never did it because I just was not in the headspace to sit for 15 to 20 minutes and get quiet, which was what I needed to do. And when I was introduced to Dina and became familiar with her 3x3 meditation, I fell in love with it. And I started with 1 day, 1 time, and then I worked into 2 times a day and then 3 times a day, so 3x3. And I really look forward to it. And I find when I get caught up in the whirl of the day, I know it's time to lie on my floor in my office with my dog next to me and spend 3 minutes to listening to one of Dina's meditations. And I love how it shifts me back to a more centered and peaceful place. And it did that today, right before the show. And I recommend her meditations to all of my clients because I'm personally experiencing the benefit of these. So without further ado, welcome, Dina, and thank you for joining me on the show today.
Hi, Marty. Oh, it's my total joy to share this space with you. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, it's so great to have you here. And I mean, what I love the title of your book, Madly Chasing Peace. I don't know if many of our listeners can relate to that. I certainly can. The oxymoron about that, madly chasing peace. So I just wanted to recognize that again. So let's start with, what is 3x3 meditation and what's the story behind how you created it?
Okay, great. We'll kind of start at the beginning. 3x3 obviously stands for, as you said, 3 minutes, 3 times a day. But I created it by accident, really coming out of the lowest point in my life as a methodology to get me out of this horrible hole that I was in. What happened was towards the end of 2008 is when I was hitting my rock bottom. I was in my early 30s, and I had spent my 20s in and out of clinical depression. I had tried therapies, group therapies, one-on-one, medication, experimental medication, anxiety, depression, all of those kind of medications. I was changing jobs, changing boyfriends, getting new cars, moving cities, just trying anything and everything to fix this inner restlessness, this depression, this black hole emotionally that I felt inside of myself. And towards my late 20s is when I got heavily addicted to alcohol and was drinking around the clock for probably 2 or 3 years straight. I had constant alcohol in my bloodstream. And when I started drinking like that, it was really out of this increased desperation and desolation that I was feeling inside. That was why alcohol kind of gripped me at that point to become my solution. And I became a person I couldn't recognize and couldn't live with. You know, I was waking up next to guys I had just met. I was stealing money. I was drinking at work. Like, I couldn't believe who I was becoming, and I couldn't even look at myself in the mirror. And because one thing led to another, and I had just done one too many things that I could live with myself having done, and I chose a date to take my own life because I couldn't live with what was going on anymore, and I did not see a possibility of changing it. So what ended up happening was I ended up in an addiction recovery program and chose a coach to kind of take me through the steps of the program. And mind you, it took me about 3 months to realize that I did belong in those rooms and that I did have addiction and that this might help me. Like, I was such a classic case of denial. It's really, oh my gosh. When I look back, it's, oh man. But anyway, so I chose a coach and I chose to commit to doing the program. And so her first instruction to me was to learn to meditate. And at the time, with the crazy, disastrous human being I had become, I remember looking at her like, what the heck is meditation going to do for me? Like, shouldn't I be beating pillows with baseball bats or writing letters that I'm never going to mail? You know, like, this meditation, I don't think this is going to do anything. But she was really good with me, Marty. She just looked at me really tough love and said, you know, you've tried all of your solutions, but they're not working. You're still struggling. Why don't you try this solution? And it's like, what am I going to say to that? You know? Yeah.
Right.
So her specific instruction to me was to sit still every morning for 20 minutes and focus on my breathing. And I didn't really think it would do anything, but I said, you know, she's right. It's something I've never tried. I'll try it, whatever. So those first few mornings, I would set my timer for 20 minutes and really intend to sit still, focus on my breathing. But the thing was that I was so newly divorced from alcohol. Like, I was still having withdrawal, kind of shaking. My body would start sweating uncontrollably. And when I would sit still for any length of time, those negative, suicidal, horrible thoughts would just eat me alive, you know? So it was physically intolerable for me to sit still for longer than 3 minutes at a time. Just with the physical shaking, sweating, negative thoughts, it was just impossible for me to hold my body sitting still for longer than 3 minutes. But it would nag at me later in the day, like, all she told me to do was sit still for 20 minutes and all I could do was three. Like, oh my gosh, I bet I can do better than that. So it was kind of like a challenge for me to, you know, like, I can do this homework assignment. So I would sit a little bit later in the day. A couple hours later, I would sit and do 3 more minutes. And my body would always max out at its ability to sit still at about the 3 minute mark. So I would do 3 minutes several times a day so that I could call her and tell her at the end of the day, you know, I did it. I did my homework. I met my quota. And that's what ended up becoming eventually 3x3 meditation, 3 minutes, 3 times a day, because I was using it in the beginning. It was just kind of an open, desperate, I don't even know what I'm doing or who I'm talking to in this meditation or what the heck is supposed to be going on. But eventually I started having experiences in what I can only call a state of higher consciousness. And when I'm in those states and in that pure bliss, deeply grounded, you know, just like this open joy that I never even knew it was possible to feel as a human being on this planet. When I'm in those states, yeah, you have access to wisdom that you don't otherwise have access to. So I knew that these little 3 minute here, 3 minute there things were doing something. And now it's become a method and a modality where whenever I want to change or transform or heal or manifest something in my life, whether it's financial stuff, whether it's body stuff, weight loss, you know, lowering my cholesterol, I did through a 3x3, all of these transform my relationships, anything that I want to heal, transform, or manifest in my life, I start in 3x3 first with an intense, focused you know, kind of open to the guidance of the universe visualization in my meditations, and I start to see how my exterior reality changes. So that's kind of the quick and dirty way that I created it and what I use it for even today.
Wow, what a great explanation, too. I love it. And I, is it, doesn't Bruce Lipton say that the reason part of that works is because of the spreading it out through the day, like you're doing a pattern interrupt too? Is that, did I read that properly?
Yeah, you're exactly right. Because when I wrote the book, the reason I interviewed Bruce Lipton, and for those who aren't familiar, he wrote a book called The Biology of Belief, and he's pretty well-regarded cell biologist, you know, and he understands, like, the neuroscience and all of that. And I thought, you know what, I really want somebody scientific to validate, because when you say you transform your life in 3 minutes, three times a day, it kind of sounds like formative abs, you know, it's like this kind of cheesy, impossible thing to create. And so I thought, you know, if I could just get a scientific, well-respected person to understand my modality where I explain, you know, so anyway, that's why I approached him. So when I interviewed him, part of me was afraid that he would laugh and be like, yeah, that's probably not even working at all. You know? But I knew it was. Like, I'm just joking, but I knew it was. But I wanted him to explain to me how. And he said, when I told him, I said, listen, I've had full healing from addiction. I've lowered my cholesterol 50 points, lost 7 pounds in 10 days, transformed my relationships. I'm writing a book, building a business, and it's all based on the inspiration I get in 3x3. And I said, do you even think that's possible? Like, how could that even work? And he laughed, Marty, and he goes, you know, Dina, that's probably one of the most effective things you could be doing, because what's happening is that, you know, I've heard from various sources, we have tens of thousands of thoughts, you know, 60 or 70,000 repetitive thoughts in our head all day long. And most people listening in can kind of relate to that, because your mind never shuts off. It's always reminding you of something you need to be doing or beating you up for something that you need to be doing. You know, all the, there's
right.
Always the voice in our head has some sort of chatter, some sort of commentary. So he said the power in 3x3 was that this subconscious tape was being constantly and consistently interrupted so that I could, it's almost like, this isn't his analogy, it's mine, but it's almost like weeding a garden. You've all this garden of negative thoughts, and you know, you're going in and you're constantly pulling out the weeds, and you're withdrawing attention from what no longer serves you and opening up a space for knowledge and intuitive wisdom to surface so that you can create what you want in your life. But that's exactly what he said, and that's how food cravings, addictive cravings, alcohol cravings just kind of, they're just gone. I don't have to battle them. It doesn't have to be a struggle. It's like I just don't even want that stuff anymore. And the reason is because I think differently now. Because 3 times a day I was constantly and consistently interrupting those old neural pathways, those old ways of thinking, that old mindset and, you know, kind of emotional pattern, I then created space for new thoughts to be planted in. And then when I have new neural pathways going in my brain, it's almost like the dried up riverbed and the, you know, the energy used to flow down that old riverbed, which was causing the bad behaviors and the bad addictions. And when I'm able to consciously withdraw from that old riverbed and create a new one, like a new neural pathway in my brain, I picture it like water going down a riverbed, you know, the energy flowing down these neural pathways in my brain. And so when I can create a new one, like that's what he said I was doing, was creating new neural pathways. When you start thinking differently, everything starts in the brain and the mind, and then the body follows. And so that's how I was able to have all these results. And that was his kind of explanation. It's exactly what you said, the pattern interrupt, of how these short bursts of focused, you know, it's pretty intense when you're in 3x3, like it's a very focused state of being and state of mind. Consistently doing that several times a day creates this rewiring thing and really changes your outward reality in whatever way you want to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's, I love that explanation too. And, you know, and obviously I'm a tapper and I love tapping, but I found like doing your meditations, it just adds on to that even more. It just impresses me so much about, especially like during the day, because I can get caught up in that, okay, on to the next thing. And yeah, I can tap and I love tapping, but this in addition to, and I love hearing your voice, walking through the guided meditations, it's just, I'm a firm believer, whatever helps you get where you need to go, utilize it. And I, like I said, I can personally attest to, I notice more of a calmness and peacefulness, especially throughout the day when, and like I remember now, oh yeah, it's time to do the meditation because I'm in that whirl and I like having this other tool, you know, in my toolbox to help me get where I need to go. So I'm so thrilled it came to you.
Oh, me too. It's like I'm nothing but gratitude. I'm just so grateful that it happened the way it did.
Yeah. So on this show, obviously, I talk to, you know, it's really geared towards people that might be, say, in a position, a job, a business that they're not really thrilled with, but they don't know how to get out of it. And in that regard, like this meditation, how could this meditation help somebody along that line, like with whatever, you know, thoughts like, oh, I can't do it, there's no way I can quit my job, you know, some of those negative thoughts. How might this assist someone in even considering that might be possible?
It's a really great question. And it's something that I struggled with too, because I had a day job up until like 2000, I guess the end of 2011. So I've only been, you know, doing this stuff on my own for a couple of years. It hasn't been all that long at all. But when I had my day job, I felt that same fear because it's like, oh my gosh, my book isn't even out yet. I wanted to quit my job so I'd have time to write and finish and edit it and all of that. So I understand that fear. It's like, well, how am I going to put food on the table? I've got, you know, me, I was single, but what about people that have families to support and they have this, you know, consistent income, even though they're not happy at the job, like maybe it makes sense to keep it because they don't have consistent income on what they want to create yet and all of those type of things. Well, here's how I believe about it. And this is a really kind of spiritual answer because everything, this is what I know from being in those states of higher consciousness, is that absolutely everything in our exterior world exists as a mirror of what's going on in our interior life. So if our primary or dominant belief or thought pattern is, I'm too scared to leave my day job because it's insecure, I need to stay here because it's safe, then that will become reflected to us in our exterior reality. And one feeds another. Because you look over the past years and it's like, well, I've had this job for 10 years. It's been a good job. I have put food on the table. Therefore, it proves to me that this works. You know, I have no proof that the new way will work, you know, that sort of thing. So I understand that. And that's what I struggle with, too. And it's absolutely valid because it's not maybe just you that you're taking care of. It's more than just you. But here's how I feel about, and this has been my experience with my spiritual breakthroughs, is that the universe, our higher power, God, whatever your idea of that deepest source of intuitive wisdom that guides us, never ever sets us up for failure. So the universe would never give me a dream to dream or an instinct towards financially support me unless it could be followed through to become my reality. Now, that doesn't mean just go willy-nilly and quit your job and all of that sort of thing and just trust right. The universe and throw caution to the wind. That's not, you know, but here's the thing is that if that guidance, if the desire to create something and to leave the day job or the corporate hold or whatever, and to branch out on your own and to create something, so you're not escaping. This is the difference. Is like if you're so stuck in your day job but you don't know what you want to create, it's almost like you're running from a burning building but you don't know where you're running into. That's a different situation, you know, then it's like escaping something negative rather than moving towards something positive. So the first step is to, and some people listening in may already be clear, like, I know what I want to create, but that's the first step because when we're taking action out of desperation, it's not usually because we're in touch with that highest wisdom. That might be kind of
right.
less grounded decisions that we make, right? But if we get in touch and we get into and have a meditation practice or a tapping practice or 3x3, like whatever resonates for you, and get inside and in touch with that inner wisdom and just saying like, and this is what I said, because I was suicidal alcoholic. Like, I didn't like my job. I didn't like anything about my life. And I didn't even believe in anything higher than me. But in those very first 3-minute here, sweaty, shaky meditations, all I was saying was that I'm open and willing to see a new way. Just show me. And even in just saying that, it opened the door enough that I was able to understand that there was going to be a modality that was born, which would then lead to a book, which would then lead to a coaching career and all of this stuff. So I couldn't see it all at first, but that when I was desperate, that's all I said. I didn't make any decisions or take any actions until I started getting that clarity. So even if all you're doing is creating a space inside where you're just saying, like, I'm open to a new way, I'm willing to do things a new way, just show me what to do. That creates enough space to be able to get those inklings. So that's like if you feel stuck and you don't know where you're going. But if you're so clear, it's like, oh my gosh, I know I want to write a series of kids' books, or I have this great invention product and I just need capital to do the research and the creation of it or whatever. Like if you feel like you already know what you want to be creating in the world, it's more about spending that time tuning into the universe. And this is something I learned from Jack Canfield. When he has an intention or something he wants to manifest, he says, for the greater good of me and all people involved. And so he'll say, you know, I want to create this or have this workshop or write this book, but I want it to be at the right timing and come through me in such a way that it has maximum impact for my soul or spiritual expansion and the spiritual growth and expansion of everybody that this message affects. So that can be the space that you keep in your meditation or tapping or whatever the healing modality is that you use, saying like, I know I want to create this. I know this thing is bigger than me. Like for me, I say I'm on the 3x3 bus, but I'm not driving it. Like I let the universe drive this bus. I'm just like the vehicle, right? Like it's just kind of coming through. And yes, it guides me in an amazing way, but I let that guidance come from that which is greater than myself. And when we say for the greater good and the timing of all people involved, then we start to get little nudges from within, little inspirations. Oh, there's a radio show that talks about this. Maybe I'll contact that person. Or I wrote an article. Maybe this magazine would publish it. Or, you know, this, I want to ask this person. They're successful in it. We get little pops of inspiration and ideas. And when we just stay open and not attached to the outcome, not attached to the timing, but in that space of for the greater good of my soul's expansion and the greater good of all people that this affects, there is where the universe has the time to kind of work its magic. So that's how I created what I create. I hope that's like concrete enough.
I love it, Dina. It so mirrors. I mean, I love what you said because about four years ago, I went, it's literally like I was so frustrated with my life. And so it was like so dismally mediocre, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I had gone through a pretty heavy-duty financial crisis with my husband. But just what you're saying is, I just remember, like, setting an intention out to universe, God, and I just said, look, if there is something out there that can actually help me change my life, I've tried everything. Mm-hmm. Please send it my way. If not, just give me peace with my mediocre life. And right after that is when things started to change for me. It totally mirrors. And I think it speaks to how so often we as human beings complicate things way more than they need to be. It's how we're raised. You know, life has to be a struggle. It has to be hard. And then all of a sudden, like you said, it sort of like magically happens. Yet you're still, there's two sayings I love. Trust in God, but tie your camel. Pray to God, but row to shore. So to me, put the intention out there and then just do your part. But it's not all this efforting. So what you said makes complete sense to me, and I so appreciate you sharing it. It's wonderful.
Good.
So now, do you have some specific examples of results in your own life or the lives of your clients that you think would be helpful to share? Obviously, you've talked about all these different parts of your life that have changed, but anything you want to go into a little more detail about, maybe with a client?
Oh, sure, yeah. And I could talk a little bit about my experience in a little bit more detail because it can help people understand. There are a lot of people that I've encountered or I've talked about with meditation, and people are kind of, it's almost like, I'll meditate when the kids are off to college. I'll meditate when I can quit my three jobs. Like meditation almost seems like a luxury rather than a necessity. Now, for me, meditation is absolutely crucial to get the guidance I need to move forward into what I want to create because it's what you were saying, that the distinction that you were making between efforting, it's like making it happen and letting it happen. That's where the distinction is. And so, like, for example, let me just use weight loss as an example. I realize that's not like our topic, but this is good one that people can kind of understand. So, like, for example, when I quit drinking so much, I started eating so much, right? And so I was eating junk food 24 hours a day, and I went up two sizes in clothes within just a couple of months. Like, it really didn't take me long to balloon in my body. And when I reached a point where I was stable enough in the addiction recovery program, I decided I'm really tired of being at the mercy of these cravings. Like, I was hiding food everywhere. I was hiding food in my desk at work. Like, it was just engrossed the way that I was eating, and it was totally emotional. And I said, like, I want to have a different experience with food. And so I went into my 3x3 meditations, and I had a couple, like, stumbling blocks at first. I didn't come up with the right exact way for it to work, but the way that it did work was I just said inside of myself, like, I bet that there is a body blueprint, like a healthiest body blueprint, like a highest wisdom for the health of every single one of my body parts, my organs, my cells, that I'm just not tuned into. When the cells in my body indicate that they're hungry, I bet that they know what they're hungry for. And so I developed, kind of organically, you look around now and it's called intuitive eating, and I had no idea that even existed, you know, but I just developed it out of necessity. And I started to notice that my brain started thinking differently about food and about my body. I noticed that normally I would kind of walk around while I was doing errands or, you know, out about the town, and I would look at different people's bodies and be like, oh, I wish I had her body. She probably eats salad all day. You know, like things like
right,
that.
Right, right.
Yeah. And then I started to notice, like, even just after 2 weeks of doing 3x3s, regarding this intuitive eating, I now teach it as an intuitive eating practice and kind of visualizing your ideal body blueprint communicating to you. I started to notice, like, oh my gosh, I haven't lost a pound yet, but I feel like I look like her. I feel like my body looks as amazing as her body. It was like I knew it was coming. It was just undeniable. I could feel it before it actually manifested. So then once that switch in my brain flipped, I lost 7 of those pounds in 10 days. At one point I was waking up, you know, like 3 or 4 mornings in a row, and I was like, I just know that I lost a pound. I just know it. Because when you get that mindset right, yeah, the weight just falls off. It's the same thing. That's why it's like, it's intensely practical to use meditation, because you're rewiring the way that you think. If you want to create a goal, like, for example, like when I wanted to write my book, right? And I thought, I want this to be a best-selling book because I want it to be something where I'm respected as an author. I can have some sort of credence that this is a valuable, worthwhile message and story. And that also, as a bestseller, it's reaching more people than it might otherwise reach. And so I wanted it to be a best-selling book. So I would walk around, even when I was at the grocery store in the book section, or, you know, shopping centers and stuff, or bookstores, I would walk around and just imagine that my book was on that bestseller table. You know, like that's where it was housed and all of that. And I held that space, and I really believed, like, while I was still writing the book, when people would ask me, how's the book coming along, I would almost say, the book was already published. It's already a bestseller, because that's how it felt. I felt like it had already been a bestseller before it was. So that was a large part into, you know, kind of manifesting my book. Clients that I've worked with have healed relationships. I've had 2 clients recently who have manifested not just dream homes, but like amazing dream homes that they never even thought were possible, selling a home, finding one within, you know, just a matter of days when they were moving. It's absolutely just phenomenal what you can get in touch with. I've helped people heal and transform marriages and relationships with close family members and friends that they thought would never break, that it was just untransformable, or work situations and relationships where it was just like communication is just so bad, we're never going to have a change here, and having breakthroughs there. So it's like I could give examples from every single physical, financial, work-oriented, relationship-oriented aspect of lives where when you get that inside right and you start thinking differently, the people around you come to reflect that. The financial situation around you comes to reflect that. Everything in your exterior reality changes because of the beliefs and focus that you're holding inside of yourself.
Oh, I love that. So that really speaks to why mindset is so important in order for us to achieve the results we need in our lives. Because what I hear you saying is it all happened internally first. You know, you were like, oh no, I'm already there. I'm already there. I've lost a pound this morning. You wake up and then the outward is showing. It's mirroring that.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And usually what happens, like I've noticed, that it feels like it's manifested before it's manifested. And that's my indicator of ding, 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 I'm on the right track. This thing is about to pop because I'm already feeling like it's mine. I already feel like I've owned it, like I've already created it. And that's my indicator of like, then there becomes no more barrier of time in order for that to become my reality. I already feel like I'm there. And the next step is that my exterior reality mirrors that back to me.
I love it. I love it. Your enthusiasm is infectious, Dina. I love it.
Oh,
great.
I get so passionate. I just love it.
Right. Well, for our listeners, how long does one have to do this to see results?
That's a good question. So let me give this example, because when I was first a total disaster and just saying I'm open and willing, just show me, and I was shaking and sweating and all those negative thoughts, from that to my first experience in that state of higher consciousness took 8 weeks. So that
wow.
was from total hell to absolute bliss. Like the level of grounded, peaceful, wise bliss that I had access to after those 8 weeks I know very few human beings on this planet who have even had that experience. So it was like extraordinary. So that was, 8 weeks from one extreme to the other extreme. Now, when you want to talk about in terms of, say, having a body breakthrough or a healing or being able to quit, being able to quit your day job type of thing, what I have noticed, and this is how I tell people to take the meditation practice or the visualization or whatever healing modality practice, is to start with 7 days at a time. Because 7 days at a time is, first of all, manageable. If I asked you, hey, I know you haven't been to the gym in 20 years. Do you think if I could buy you a gym membership, you could be consistent and go for 7 days? People would probably say, yeah, 3 or 4 times this week, I could commit and I could play full out and I could promise that I would keep my commitment just for this 1 week, just for these 7 days. So when we take things in smaller, manageable goals, that doesn't mean that you're going to lose all 50 pounds within those first 7 days. That's not what I'm saying is like ultimate goal. But when we are able to commit to smaller increments and play full out with those smaller increments, we start to realize results faster. So say that it's a weight loss goal, right? And it's
right.
And you're going to for 7 days visualize and get in touch with intuitive eating, that sort of thing. Even if after 7 days that intuitive eating practice is a little bit, it's not quite stable yet. You still have a little bit way to go yet. You will. I've heard from every single person. There's no exception. Every person who has ever reported back to me about successfully playing full out with 3x3 kind of focused visualizations for 7 days has reported back to me and said, I feel differently and I'm beginning to think differently about this goal. This trigger used to take me down and end me up in tears, and now I feel like there's space around it. I felt like I would never lose this weight for 20 whole years, and now I finally feel like there's room for hope, or those sorts of things. So even as little as 7 days, you can start to notice that the mindset, the way you think, the way you feel about the issue is starting to shift. Now, I've heard from various sources that it takes, 21 or 28 days or whatever to create a habit, because the new neural pathways need a little bit of time to form in your brain, and they need that consistent reinforcement to be able to become permanent. It's almost like working out a muscle. You need to work out a muscle several times during a week or whatever in order to get that strength. It needs to be consistent. And so when you string 3 or 4 or 5 of those 7 day playing full outs together, then you start to notice like, oh my God, my world is changing. Like, this is amazing. I can't believe the results that I'm getting in my physical life. So for me, it's usually between 3 and 7 days, I notice that I'm starting to think differently about stuff. And after about like the 2 week mark, I start to feel and notice that there are changes happening in my relationship or in my body, or my external world begins to reflect that. And I believe that it can happen even quicker than that. I really do. Because our vibration, I feel, is almost kind of like a temperature, like a thermometer. So the temperature can go up quickly, but it still goes 1 degree at a time. So we need to just, for those first 3 days or first 7 days, just take it in that small chunk, in that small increment. Just have the goal to raise the vibration or raise the way that you're thinking about it by a couple of degrees. Then when you're anchored in that new plateau, then you can take on what's a little bit better than this, a little bit better than that. And this way, you're kind of, you're because we're so impatient. We want the results so fast. And I understand that. And I'm not against fast results. Like, I look at my transformation. You know, it really does happen relatively quickly in the grand scheme of things, but sometimes we get impatient with it. If we can just be patient and trust the process and know that it is working, that alone can have it come into our experience faster because we lower our resistance and let it happen rather than make it happen. So, you know, that's kind of like 8 weeks was a total transformation for me. And now after 7 days, I definitely feel, and everybody who reports back to me says that's been their experience too. They feel differently. And then the 2 to 3 week mark is when it's like, oh my gosh, my physical reality is popping. This is changing. I'm seeing results now.
Oh, wow. That's great. Well, and it's so interesting too, because it's that, you know, hurry up universe, as Carol always says, Carol Look, and it's like, oh yeah, you know, it's taken us probably a while to get to the place we are. And then it's like, hey, you know, that quick fix, I want it overnight. But like you said, it is fast. It's fast.
It is
just
fast.
We get, like you said, we get impatient with it. So,
yeah.
So
and it's
how
like,
can?
It's like this, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay, I was just gonna say, if you know, you could look at whatever you're stuck in now and want to have a breakthrough, whether it's body, finances, whatever. Think about where you were 3 weeks ago. Probably pretty much the same where you are now. So
right.
3 weeks from now, it could be really different. That's all I was going to say. So where?
Oh no, that's great. I mean, that's such a great thing to say, because it's like, you know, when you get impatient, it's like, well, if 3 weeks out from now you're in the same place, how are you going to feel about that? So why not give it a shot? You know, why not be patient with it? You know, what have you got to lose? Yeah, that's great. How does emotion tie into all of this?
Okay, emotion is the key to all of this. And the reason being is because if we know that we have 60,000, however many, negative thoughts that are sabotaging us going on all day long, it's really kind of impossible to have the job of interrupting all of those negative thoughts and trying to pattern interrupt them as they come in. Like, it's just, it's overwhelming. Like, how could we ever do that? So, but when you think about it, every one of our thoughts creates an emotional response, and the emotional response is felt in our body. For example, I'm in debt. I'm never going to get out of debt. I'm so afraid to quit my day job, and I'll never live my dream. That's a thought. That thought, you feel it, the emotion attached with it. It may be on the range from like either mild disappointment all the way down to like suicidal depression or anywhere in between. That's what we call a negative thought. When we have a negative thought in the body, it feels constricted. It feels deflated. It feels like I have no energy. It feels a knot in my stomach, tension in my shoulders. My shoulders are hunched over. I feel constricted and contracted in my body. Now, when we have a positive thought of, you know, I have been stuck for a while, but things are starting to open up now. I feel refreshed and energized in a way I haven't before. There's a solution available to me I never even knew existed, and I'm so excited to try it out. That feels, it's either from mild hope all the way to like total blissful happiness and joy. Those are the positive emotions. So when we're feeling positive emotion, it feels expanded, open, curious. That's how we feel in the body. It's like the tension melts away from our shoulders. We feel peace in our belly and in our gut. Like, that's the positive emotion feels expanded. The negative emotion feels constricted. So the way that I go throughout my day, and I'm not constantly, you know, every 5 seconds, am I feeling constricted or expanded? It's not like that. It's, you know, but it's like every once in a while, just checking in, because when we feel a dramatic constriction, if we get bad news or something doesn't work out the way we want it to, our body will feel like viscerally contracted. And when we get present to that, we can recognize it's not necessarily the circumstance or the person or the way I'm being treated that's causing this. It's my perception and reaction to what's going on that's causing this. I can choose to change the way that I think about it. I don't want any person, situation, or circumstance, or the weather to have any dominion over my emotional and spiritual health. I want to feel happy, grounded, and at peace, even if things get a little rocky. I know that I can stay plugged in and be able to navigate my life. And so that's a place of empowerment. So the emotion, as we're going throughout our day, if we feel like, oh my gosh, I feel constricted, like what's going on here? You'll feel it in the body before you'll notice the thought. So that's the power of the emotion, because it's felt in the body. So when you feel constricted, you can think to yourself like, okay, there must be a negative thought going on here. What's going on? Oh yeah, because I found out that, you know, a loved one is in the hospital, or I'm not going to get the money I was counting on, or blah, 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 something's going on. And then you can say, like, I want to feel more expanded about this. I know that I have no power over the situation, or I don't have the answer yet, but I want to relax the way I'm feeling about it. And so you can choose a thought that feels just a little bit better. You know, even though I did get this bad news, even though this financial opportunity may not come through, it's not the only opportunity for me. I know there's going to be more down the road. This is a little bit disappointing, but I know I have the power to let it go and be open and curious and inviting towards other opportunities. See how that thought just feels a little bit better, and it starts to feel relief and relaxing. You move from constriction into expansion. And so that's how you can train yourself. It's like just being aware of when you're feeling constricted in your body and consciously choose a thought that just feels, you know, 2 degrees better. It doesn't have to go 80 degrees at one time. It's just a couple degrees better than the thought you were thinking before, can have the effect of getting you back into that place of possibility, positive emotion, expansion, because that's the only place we're able to get intuitive guidance of what the universe is telling us. If we're feeling constricted and contracted, that means all of our thoughts are focused on lack, scarcity, and impossibility. We're not open to be able to hear the internal guidance or the opportunities that are there for us. And so that's why you do the work to get out of contraction into expansion, because then you can start to hear that inner wisdom pop back up. So emotion is key for all of that.
Well, and I love the way you put that, Dina, because it really speaks to that idea of, you know, take yourself up the emotional scale instead of that, you know, I'm in the pits of despair and now, you know, I don't feel elated. It's too, sometimes for many of us, it's too big of a jump. So like you're saying, you check in with yourself. And then if you can just choose like a thought that feels, like you said, just even a little better, I think for many of us that feels more manageable to begin with, and it feels more doable. Like you said, oh my God, I can't do 20 minutes. I'm coming out of my skin, you know, but I can do 3 minutes. And like, to me, it's a way of cutting ourselves some slack, you know, instead of like you're talking about the, you know, going to work out. Oh, if you got to do it for a year, you know, that's to me why so many New Year's resolutions don't make it. It's too much, it's too great of a leap right out of the gate for somebody, which we've tried before, but we take steps and then we can actually leap. I mean, before we know it, we're doing that because we've taken ourselves there, like you're saying, a thought at a time, just checking in. And I love that idea of check in. Do I feel constricted? Like you said, you're not doing it every 5 minutes. That would be a, you know, very busy day mentally, but it's what a great way to put that. So thank you so much for sharing that. I think that's really helpful, you know, to the listeners.
Good.
Yes, great. Well, I want to, can you walk us through a meditation right now? I want to be sure we get that in before time runs out.
Oh, yeah, let's for sure. You know what, let's do something that's kind of simple because, like I said, like this is a really important concept to remember. If you had just moved into a new place and it had a whole gardening area in the back and, you know, you loved gardening and you pictured this rose garden back there and you went to the, you know, kind of garden shop and you got all these roses and you came in and just planted them, they wouldn't take root because you haven't taken the time to weed out. You know, the weeds that are there that have been there for the 5 years are just going to choke out these beautiful roses that you're trying to plant. And so it's really important in the beginning to learn how to weed the garden of your mind, because if you are in, you know, thousands of dollars in debt and you're like, okay, I'm just going to visualize that I'm on my private yacht and I'm drinking champagne and, you know, it's like, it's just too far of a jump. And I do think it's possible. You could absolutely achieve that. But when you try to plant that rose too soon, the weeds are going to choke it out. And that little voice in the back of your head, that tail ender, right, Marty, is going to be
oh,
like,
oh, yes.
No, you won't. No, you can't. You can't do that. That's unrealistic. just stop. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
So yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'll lead you through. We'll just take 3 minutes right now, but that, I'm just kind of prepping the space of this is going to be something to help you weed that garden to let go of those thoughts so that you can plant the roses.
I love the way
so,
you put that.
Oh, good. I love analogies. It's always very helpful. So, okay, great. So let's go ahead and start. So, Marty, if you'd like to participate or anybody listening in would like to participate, take a moment if you need to shift your position or your posture or shake your body out, whatever is comfortable for you to be able to support you for these couple of minutes. And then let your body come to a place of settling in. You feel relaxed. You feel alert. You feel present. Just for these couple of minutes, as your body finds a place of relaxation and peace, just notice that there's no room for any tension in this space right now. Any tension or thoughts you'd like to let go of, just absolutely easily melt and release right out of your body and your mind. Just totally melting right out of your physical, mental, and emotional experience right now. And as you feel yourself settling in even more deeply to that place of alert relaxation, I invite you to get in touch with your breathing. No need to speed it up or slow it down, but just to become in touch and focused on that little miracle that breathing is. And I invite you to get in touch with, imagine, what is it that you most wish that you felt right now, that you most want to feel? Maybe it's a feeling of peace. Maybe it's a feeling of energy and productivity. Maybe it's a feeling of unconditional love. But just take a second and get in touch with what is it you'd most like to be feeling right now. And then use your breath as the vehicle to anchor that feeling into the cells of your body. So every breath you take in, imagine that the essence of that emotion is entering in with your breath and filtering through, saturating and embodying every single cell in every part of your body. And just let yourself breathe like that for a couple more breaths. Just breathing in, imagining that energy and that essence infiltrating and saturating every cell of your body, every dimension of your being, that essence becoming one with every part of you. And then when you're ready, allow yourself one last deep breath in, same as before, breathing in that energetic, emotional essence, imagining it infiltrating, encompassing, and saturating every cell of your body, every dimension of your being, and anchoring in that deep presence, that deep state. And then when you're ready, you can go ahead and release the breath and return your attention back into the room that you're in right now.
Wow.
So it's just simple, you know, but it can be really powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it goes back to, it really speaks to, you know, so often we end up complicating things and they really don't need to be. Like, in this is a testament to that. Yeah.
Yeah, so true. So true.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, a couple other questions, if I can ask you, and thank you so much for guiding us through that, and our listeners are getting a taste of just how you do, you know, a 3x3 minute meditation, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So if someone's like, we're that busy and we just can't find 3 minutes three times a day, what would your recommendation be?
You know, it's true, because even though it's just 3 minutes, I've coached people that are like, okay, that sounds great, but there's no way. Like, sorry, but I've got the kids, I've got four jobs, I don't have time to pee, I don't have time to eat, there's no way that I'm taking time to meditate. I get it. I really do. I understand it. So, but here's where the shift can happen. If it feels like, oh, there's no way I can put one more thing on this to-do list, and meditation is just not a priority right now. Like, I get that. So what I encourage in that situation is for, instead of thinking it as like, oh my gosh, one more thing to add to this list, approach it more with the curiosity of, okay, this sounds good. I'm not sure where I could fit this in, but if it is going to be a practice that will benefit me and by extension, everybody that I interact with in my life, if this can be something that would change my relationship with my body, with food, with money, if this is something that my higher power, universe, highest self, intuitive guidance sees as valuable for me, I know that there's going to be 3-minute opportunities throughout the day that I might not even be aware of right now. And so I'm open to trying out this practice. If it is the right thing for me and for everybody that my life touches, for me to start this practice, I'm open, I'm curious to be shown how this might work. So you see, you're shifting from, oh my gosh, there's just no room, which is a constricted feeling, into an expanded feeling of, well, even if I can't see it, I'm open. I'm curious to see how this will be shown. I'm curious to see if this will be a practice for me. I don't pretend to say that 3x3 is like the be-all, end-all for everybody. Like, 3x3 only exists because I couldn't follow instructions, you know? So I don't think it's like the one modality that's going to heal your life. But I have seen way too many businesses, you know, groups of people in the work environment, in the personal environment, that have had true transformation by using it, that I know there's something to whatever, getting that inside right. And so if you just approach it with an open curiosity towards, I'm open to 3x3 or EFT or whatever modality might be of service for me, because when the universe has an opportunity for us to heal, the universe doesn't say, oh, okay, you're going to want that dream house, but we're not going to give you the money to afford it. You're going to want to meditate, but we're not going to give you the time to do it. Like, everything
right.
is already there to support us. We just need to let it in. And the best way to let it in is to get to that place of open and curiosity. Like that.
Yes. And I love that too, Dina, because it's like, you know, that's not restricted thinking, saying, hey, there's many ways to get where you want to go. And even just to be open to trying different things and then finding the thing that resonates with you is so important. And I'm always hesitant if I hear someone toting, they've found the way and the only way for something to change. It's a big red flag for me. So, and that's what I love about you, is just such an openness. And again, that's constricted thinking. I have the only way to do this.
That's true. Yeah, that there's only one way or whatever. Yeah, because it does have a scarcity to it. I believe there's millions of ways to do millions of things. So mine's just one of many. It's powerful.
Very powerful. Yes, very powerful. And as myself, too, I'm excited learning more and more about that. So one last question. How does the law of attraction tie into all this?
Okay, great. So let's talk about law of attraction. So law of attraction states that like attracts like. And if you kind of roll with what I was saying in the beginning, the insight that I'd first gotten when I was in that first kind of higher consciousness state, that everything in the external world is a mirror of what's going on in the internal world, right? So if I'm going around all day saying, I have no money, I'm never going to have any money, nobody around me has any money, my family's never going to have any money, what do we end up creating? Well, I have no money. So when we start to turn it around inside and become curious, like, even though I've been stuck for this way for a while, I believe that there's possibility. I'm open. I'm curious. Now, when we start shifting that, we may start to notice, like, oh, my gosh, an unexpected check came in the mail, or, you know, whatever starts to happen. So that's the whole idea of law of attraction. It's that like attracts like, the vibration that we hold, which is really our core energy. You know, when we think about vibration, you could think of it as walking into a restaurant or a party or a friend's house. And you know by the way you feel when you walk in, it's like, I like the vibe of this place or I don't like the vibe here. Like, I'm sure we've all had that. You know, you go into a bar or somebody's home, it's like, I just don't resonate with the vibe here. I can't put my finger on it. It doesn't look like dirty or bad or anything. It's just the way I feel while I'm here doesn't resonate. It's like that, the core energy of that place is connecting with the core energy of you, and they're either resonating or they're not resonating. And that's what I mean by vibe, by vibration. So when we think about vibration, now this isn't my analogy, but I can't remember where I first heard it. I think it's brilliant, so I'm going to quote it. Is what I was saying before about the temperature. So when we have, like, say that our thoughts are negative, you can analogize that to it being 32 degrees or below. Then we have chance of stormy, nasty, snowy kind of weather, like treacherous conditions, that sort of thing. The power can go out, all of that, right? Like, how am I going to dig out the car? So when our vibration is 32 degrees or below, meaning heavily negative thinking, we are attracting, by virtue of law of attraction, those negative thoughts attract negative reality. I don't have any money. My reality, my checkbook reflects that. When our vibration raises, when we get to even 33, 34, 35, 40 degrees, it's not super warm, but we've gotten out of the place where we're attracting snow. So we're no longer going to be attracting more and more debt. We're going to get to the place where it's going to even out and become neutral and open to more possibility. Because we cannot attract, by virtue of law of attraction, we cannot attract that which is not a vibrational match to us. So it's less about saying, how am I going to solve this problem? I need to get the snow blowers. I need to get the lock de-icers. You know, what am I going to do with all this snow? It's like, wait a minute. If I just increase the temperature, the snow is going to melt and I'm not going to have to battle it after all. So that's where I think of law of attraction, and the same thing with emotion. As our emotion starts feeling better, the vibration is raising, we start to recognize that our exterior results, we're getting into 40, 50, 60, 70 degrees, the weather is getting better, the weather is getting warmer. You know, this is just a very loose analogy, but I love to kind of ground it in an analogy so you can see as my internal temperature increases, the weather patterns, the interactions I'm having with other human beings around me, my relationships, financial situation, body is coming to raise to match that. And so the like attracts like. When I get the inside to feel better, the outside is going to reflect that.
I love analogies, and that was great. I mean, for me, too, analogies really put it more and more into my head. So, Dina, thank you so much for being here. And just for our listeners, I would love for you to tell people how they can get in touch with you and any information you want to give them about what you do. And we have about 3 minutes left.
Okay, sure. Everything is all in one place, and it's all on my website, which is Madly Chasing Peace, which is the title of my book. So madlychasingpeace.com. And there's information because I do coaching with businesses, coaching with individuals. I've actually just started doing coaching certification. So I'm now certifying people to become 3x3 coaches in their business and individual clients, which is so amazingly fantastic. I also have on my website, I also have like a bunch of guided audio meditations, and they're all just 99 cents. And then I have some free videos. I do videos for my newsletter every couple of weeks. You know, if you want to sign up, you can do that too. But there's also like a video blog page where I have some free little tips and videos on there as well. And then I have a video course. And I'm creating actually video content for a number of really exciting places and websites. And it's just amazing, all of these things that I'm invited to be part of. Like, I can't even tell you without. And 3x3 has gotten all of these opportunities for me. It's like I just keep in tune with, like, how can the message reach, you know, bigger, further, faster, or wherever it needs to reach, and, you know, opportunities flow in. So, but I keep it all kind of updated on there, so you can find it on madlychasingpeace.com.
I love it, and you're a living testament that it works.
it does work. It does.
Thank you again, Dina. It was so great to have you here. I so appreciate it.
Absolutely my joy, Marty. Thank you so much for inviting me.
All right, you take good care.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
If you're ready to finally free yourself from a job you hate, go to MartyMurphy.com and download Career Coach Marty Murphy's powerful free video series, Take the Big Leap, to learn the secrets to free yourself to live your dreams and do the rewarding work you love.